Perfect.
Mm-hmm. My audio.
Cool. We are.
We're good. Okay. So.
And I see.
This is
Sprints and Milestones.
This is Sprints and Milestones.
Sprints and Milestones is produced by Audience Ops, a content creation business that helps agencies and marketers publish meaningful content.
Welcome to Sprints and Milestones. You are stepping into season two, where we're exploring the topic of failure. Our guests are sharing their experiences, and we're digging into what went wrong and how it made them feel and how they recovered. We've asked guests for stories of failure, but already this has made us question some things. What do we even mean when we label something as failure in the workplace? And perhaps more importantly, what do we mean with the word success?
In this episode, we're continuing to probe the depths of failure through the stories of our generous and vulnerable guests. We're thrilled to be joined by Whitney Hess, who happens to be a longtime colleague and friend of both of ours. Whitney, thank you so much for joining us on Sprints and Milestones. It's really good to have you here. It's been great to reconnect with you after so long. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you both so much for having me. I have loved this opportunity to reconnect with you both and to think about these stories from my life that I don't take enough time to reflect on, I think.
We're thrilled to be joined by Whitney Hess, who happens to be a longtime colleague and friend of both of ours. She started her career as a talented UX designer and quickly gained traction through her thought leadership work. Today, she's a coach who helps progressive creative leaders design their careers and accelerate their missions. Her techniques help people gain self-awareness, identify blind spots, navigate obstacles, and bring their whole selves to their work. Whitney has clearly witnessed missteps and made her own mistakes in her career, as we all have. So as a friend, it was an easy ask. When we first thought about inviting Whitney on the show, I thought, she's going to tell us a great story, and it's going to be genuine, detailed, and very real. And I have to say, I wasn't wrong. This was a great conversation, but it struck us when we approached her with this question of examples of failure, because she answered with what I think could be a really interesting perspective here for our audience.
Sure. You know, when you first brought up this topic to me, I paused because I don't hold any of my life experiences as failures. Not to say I haven't failed at things. I have failed at many, many things, and I've made many, many mistakes, but I don't hold them that way. I don't really have failure in my vocabulary. And you're right, anytime a client even says the word failure, refers to themselves as a failure, that they failed at something, I'm very quick to reframe that. Because I don't believe that any of us knows what the outcome ought to have been enough to be able to declare that we didn't achieve it. It just presumes a knowledge we don't have. And, you know, whether you call that like connection to source or a trust in the universe, I believe that what is unfolding are a series of lessons, a series of opportunities for growth, not a moment in time where something was supposed to happen, but because of my actions, it didn't. And I also don't hold the mistakes that I've made, the missteps, the miscommunications, even the unkindnesses that I've done. I don't hold that as failures. I hold them as lessons learned or moments of pain in my life or moments of distraction or where I wasn't connected with myself. So I wasn't acting as the best version of myself as I could. And as we get into the particular story that I have to share today, when I was looking back on that time in my life, I saw so many things that I did then that I didn't realize at the time But I could see with today's perspective that I would never act like that now. And so how can I deem that time in my life as a failure if it has led me to this moment where I see so much growth, so much maturity that I can even recognize in, you know, old emails, for instance, a version of myself that seems so distant and disconnected from who I am now. I don't know how you can hold that as anything other than a success.
You know, from my perspective, working as a project manager at Happy Cog in 2008, 2009, I knew Whitney as this talented UX designer with a really strong point of view and a blog that people were reading, Twitter account that people were following. So, you know, like she built up this presence through doing good work and through writing and speaking about it.
I believe that it really begins in 2009. That was the first time that I was approached by someone to write a book. That's what this story is about, writing a book. I was approached by an acquisitions editor of a well-known publisher in our field after I gave a presentation, and one of the subtopics of the presentation sounded like a good book idea to them. So they pitched me on writing this book for them, and I wasn't that passionate about the topic, so I turned it down. The next year, 2010, a different acquisitions editor at a different publisher in our field approached me to write a different book. I formed a relationship with that person and we came up with a bunch of different book ideas, but none of them really felt right and I moved on. 2013, another publisher approached me, who is also a dear friend, asking if the topic...
Essentially, it wasn't something that she was really excited about, and at that point, she could have just ended it, but the idea of writing a book is enticing, especially when you're at a point in your career where things just seem to be happening, and the book is like the thing that feels like is the next step, right?
And I didn't pursue that.
But then another idea came in.
So by December 2013, when a very well-known author whose book you all have on your bookshelf approached me to my shop saying that they thought I was the person to write a book on how to have a career in UX, and that they had already pitched it to this other publisher who I knew very well and had a great relationship with. I was pretty stunned and was so flattered that these people had come together and thought that I was the person to write this, that, and it was the fourth go round. I was like, I'm just being ridiculous at this point. I've always wanted to write a book. I have an undergraduate degree in professional writing. Writing is my first passion. I would be crazy to not pursue this. So I told the person who contacted me I was interested. They told the publisher, who was a friend, and then it was kind of off to the races. And over the course of the whole of 2014, I was engaged in the process of writing an outline. I had a conversation with the publisher. They told me kind of what an outline should look like. I did a first draft, sent it over by mid-February of 2014. The publisher sent me their feedback that unlocked a bunch of new ideas. Then I sent a new draft by mid-March. And what was happening for me at the time was that I was becoming a coach, and it's a thing you become. And so all of these other topics were really front of mind for me, and mindfulness was a big one of them at the time. So that second draft became like a hybrid of a book about a UX career and about mindfulness, which didn't work. And then I got another round of feedback, and then another round of revision. Now I was calling this a book on a conscious career. So I was in a third concept. And so early May, the publisher submits my concept of the hour to their advisory panel, and I get a bunch of evaluations, and almost all of them are glowing, but one isn't. And it totally derails me. I start questioning myself. Can I do this? Am I good enough? I come back to the publisher with another draft of an outline, which is a totally different book. My coaching business is taking off, traveling, project, working with clients. And I just stop working on it. And the publisher says to me, you know, hey, it's been a while, I haven't heard from you. Don't even worry about getting the outline right. Just start writing the book. You can write this, you can do it, just start writing it. Then I was totally lost because I didn't know what book I was writing. And my ideas had all merged into one. So I did nothing. And I didn't even get back to the publisher. I did not respond to the email. A couple months later, a new concept came up for me, designing a career. I'm going to take the design process, I'm going to apply it to designing a career, because that's what I was doing with my clients at the time. And by October, the publisher responded saying, my heart sank when I saw that you were sending me yet another concept for a book. I think this might be the sixth one. Just start writing the damn thing. And I was so embarrassed and so shook that I never responded at all. And that publisher got back to me like February 2015. And I didn't respond. And I saw them in person maybe a few years later, and we had a very awkward conversation. But my relationship, my friend relationship that I had had with them before all this started, just kind of evaporated because I was embarrassed, because I didn't know how to take on this whole thing. And I had at the time convinced myself that I had managed it well, or, you know, that I wasn't getting the support that I needed. I spun this whole story about how my needs weren't being met, and that's why I wasn't showing up well. But looking back on it all, I realized I just was way out of my depth and had no idea where to start. And though I had written my whole life, and a lot of my writing is what had sort of driven my career success and given me a reputation in the field, I did not know how to write something long form, and I had no guidance. And so I just chalked it up to that. But now looking back, I see, wow, I ghosted them. I totally ghosted them because I was embarrassed, disappointed in myself, and didn't know how to navigate it.
So much there.
There's a lot there.
So I think about this as the failure is the kind of classic story of continually bringing in new ideas,
also known as story sizing.
Yeah. You know, the publisher, the person she was working with, didn't give her here's the process. It didn't even sounds like it, like a framework, you know, of like here's what you need to do, here's the punch list, here's even like the progression of this process.
In fact, it went straight to just write the book.
Right. Yeah. Sounds great. Just start typing. And then on, you know, for Whitney to, you know, feel like, okay, well, I haven't done this before, but I want to come across as being, you know, smart here. So I'm just going to kind of go with it.
Someone who I considered a mentor and admired very much said to me, be sure whatever you write a book about, you want to talk about for the next 5 years, because you're going to be doing all the publicity, you're going to be giving talks on this topic, you're going to be writing on this topic for publication, you're going to be living this topic.
I identified times in my career where I just lost interest in something and I didn't want to be associated with that kind of work anymore. Not that there was anything bad or wrong about it. It's just I couldn't see myself pushing that rock uphill for whatever, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. That really resonated with me when she was looking at this saying, I don't want to be talking about this. I don't want to be thinking about this 5 years from now. I just kind of wonder what would have happened if she'd had that conversation with the publisher. You know, like how could that have guided the book? How could they might have found a compromise? And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a thing that should have happened, but I'm really curious what would have happened. You know, what if?
On the hook for talking about those topics, and it felt like an old version of myself. I was in this coaching training program, becoming a coach, and becoming very passionate about things outside of tech, outside of UX. And even though I very much consider the work that I do now.
And this relates to something that we talked about in another episode with Tracy Halverson.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear or feel something, listen to it, mm-hmm. right? Believe yourself, yep. Listen to yourself. And maybe if Whitney had listened to herself and spoken up, then she would have been in a different situation. But I think honestly, like she just had so many creative ideas that it all just got overwhelming.
Well, and to me, there's a third thought here is she was looking for more guidance, right? More process.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't coming, which my takeaway was that thought of, am I crazy? Shouldn't, in this case, the publisher be doing these things? Are, you know, there's all these like, shouldn't they be doing this? Shouldn't they be doing that? Like, where is this? Why aren't they saying that? It's that kind of, am I crazy? Am I, you know, do I just not know what I'm doing here? Right. Which then fuels the imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the thing of if you're working on a project with a team or in your company or with a client and you're not getting what you need and it's preventing you from creating a deliverable that you're proud of or that you know your client will love or hits all of the goals, then you have to speak up. If you don't speak up, then you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yep. And right? Them too.
And them. Right.
But I had so many things that I wanted to share and I had so many ideas for books that I was trying to combine them into one and I was muddying it and it was confusing and I was confused. The publisher was confused. Their reviewers were confused. We were all confused. And I was so embarrassed because my whole career, people have told me that the thing that I do best is bring clarity to situations and that I was unclear in my own efforts and my own endeavor was a tough pill to swallow.
Okay, so let's talk about professional ghosting. Has it happened to you? Have you ever ghosted someone? Then let's talk about like the effects of it.
This is where I wish we had a poll. You know, maybe we should like have a poll on LinkedIn and ask these two questions because I have to imagine we've all been ghosted in some way. And just, you know, in thinking back to our own, you know, younger, when we were younger professionals, how, I mean, I don't know about you. I definitely have ghosted people, just run away from something even before I got started because it scared me. Right. And even like the fear of success, but yes. Have I been ghosted so many times? Have I ghosted people? Not as many times as I've been ghosted, but I've definitely done that a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, sure. It's happened to me. I'm going through it currently with a client. You know, just like the thing where client just disappears, doesn't respond to emails, doesn't get back to you. That's happened to me probably a handful of times, right? Just on projects as a project manager, as a team member. But now as a consultant, like working with someone and everything's going well and all of a sudden they're gone. It makes you think like, well, what did I do? Or even worse, like, what happened to you? You know, like, is this person, are they, did they get fired? Did something catastrophic happen within that organization? Worse off, like, are they dead? You know, like, you just are left just bewildered and frustrated and disappointed and kind of upset. And I wonder in that story, and we didn't ask Whitney about this, but like, how many times did they contact her? Like, somebody had to have emailed us to follow up to be like, well, what's going on? What's going on? And like, you're on the other end, just like deleting that email, just ignoring it, like moving on. Yep. It's just an interesting concept. And I think it happens more often than we might realize. And I'm sure that I've done it. Like, hey, I do it every day when people are emailing me out of the blue for, you know, wanting to build my website and hire developers offshore. Like, that's, is that ghosting? Probably not. It's, but it's kind of a part of our culture now. It's just like on the internet, just like ignoring people and things and topics.
I have an item on my calendar for tomorrow titled, I owe you an apology, because I need to send that to this individual because I'm embarrassed of how I handled the situation. And I did not remember that the thing I chose to do in a moment of insecurity was just not respond.
Your career in some ways is built on relationships and your ability to build and maintain strong relationships that will help you in your current situation, but also can help you well into the future. And I think our friendship and working relationship is, it's that. I mean, it's that story. We worked together, stopped working together in 2015. Mm-hmm. We've stayed connected. We've been there for each other, and now we're working together again. And I wouldn't say that I have that situation with a lot of previous coworkers. In fact, some could say I ghosted previous coworkers, because you end a job, you move on, you don't look back. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, there's some people that you find that you connect with and you want to stay in touch, because the idea of working with them in the future again is exciting. So I think the relationship aspect really matters, and it's part of networking too, right?
It is, but really, I feel like relationships are almost more, or they're certainly as important. But if you consider the advice of people who are much, much, much older than us, you know, who are looking back at 70, 80 years, and I feel like the keeping relationships healthy is one of the top pieces of advice that they pass down.
Absolutely.
Because of this invitation that the two of you gave me to be here with you and to reflect on this story, I went digging back through emails that I never would have seen again. And I pieced the whole timeline together, and recognizing the choices that I made, a lot of stuff has been bubbling to the surface, which I'm so grateful for, because it's telling me that there was more to process about this experience than I knew, than I thought, than I believed. And it's because you prompted me to talk about it that I looked back and saw there was unfinished business. And now I have a to-do item to take care of and really make a priority, because there is unfinished business, and who knows where that's going to lead me next.
Well, thank you for sharing the story. This is really interesting. And what's really cool about this story is that there's a next chapter, right? Like, the next chapter is like, we're in it right now, and you're going to make that call tomorrow. And it's like a whole like new kind of piece of this storyline. And my hope is that we end up with a book in our hands someday. Let us know how things went. I'm really like,
I will.
Interested to hear. Yeah,
I absolutely will. And I give you both all the credit for spurring this exploration. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. And really do appreciate you. Sprints and Milestones is produced by Audience Ops, a content creation business that helps agencies and marketers publish meaningful content.